Today's share is sponsored Le'ilu Nishmas Ramotcha Ben Rabairach HaKoyen Netwin. It's 50 of your time. Dalet Kislev, 22nd of November, Rabbi Pinchas Hakenbroch. Toibling presents, to dip or not to dip? That is the question.
To stand or not to stand is the question.
Sit down.
Morning, everyone. Like to deal with a fascinating question relating to Tevilas Kelim. I believe the topic was the title was to dip or not to dip, and this relates in particular to the Shabbos gift, which is a rather contemporary question, and it relates to where a person receives a gift of food. And it's on some type of tray, some type of bowl, some ornate present that they are giving. So, whereas previously, in previous generations, people would receive a present for Shabbos, some food, something of that ilk, and the server, the plate, or whatever it was being presented on, would be plastic, would be something of insignificance, would be thrown away. Therefore, there wouldn't be an issue. Nowadays, the object, the utensil which is being presented with the food, is as much, or if not more important, than the actual food item itself. And therefore, one has an issue of whether one needs to toivel it before one actually uses it. Because when these items come for simchas, then there is the idea is that you unwrap it and therefore you eat straight away. You're not going to take, most people are not going to take all the food off that's been presented to them so beautifully, so ornately, then toivel it and then put it all back. So when the presenter of the item is there, they're going to see it the way it looks. It's not quite not going to look the same. So that's the shayla that we want to look into. There isn't much in terms of contemporary poskim on it because this is a relatively new innovation, and I think one of the points that I want to drive home with addressing this issue, or at least attempting to, is the fact that we have to accept sometimes in halacha that we don't always have perfect solutions. Sometimes we have to learn to be adept and to adapt to changing circumstances, and we have to fit in with the Torah rather than the Torah having to fit in with the lifestyles that we have. The Gemara Avodah Zorah Ayin Hay clearly states that if one acquires a clay suda food utensil from a goy, then it requires tevila. That's black and white. There is a machlokes rishonim. They discuss, is it deraisa, is it drabonon? In particular, when it comes to glass, there is discussion, and we generally see it as being drabonon. But be that as it may, minimally, everyone agrees, let's be clear, that there is a chiyuv drabonon to toivel dishes. So therefore, without wanting to be too controversial, since it seems to be very much in vogue and fashionable to give these gifts for simchas, it seems to be a blatant breach of halacha. Because when you are presenting this to somebody, you give this gift before Shabbos, you, the vendor, certainly knows that the person is going to unwrap it. He hasn't toivled it when he sold the item. And therefore, he knows that it's going to be presented, it's going to be used. The food's going to be eaten straight off the glass vase or the glass tray without toivling it. The person who's presenting the gift is not going to have toivled it, and the person who's receiving it may presume that it's actually been toivled. So it's certainly an issue of also lifnei iver. So how do we address this? So I'd like to take you through a bit of a journey through various heterim or where there is a dispensation not to toivo, and we can evaluate whether any of them have any basis and hold any water, excuse the pun, in this particular instance. And then perhaps we can come to some possible solutions. None of them are going to be ideal, but possible solutions that can help in this particular matter. So the first thing is the one-time use. There is one of the most popular misconceptions in this area is one-time use. If I only use it once, then I haven't really used it, and after that I'm going to toivel it. Nothing could be further from the truth. The Rambam makes clear that a person cannot use it without toiveling it, even on one occasion. Yes, there is discussion, and perhaps this is where the misconception crept in, regarding disposables, that they are one-time use, but that is something completely different. Where something has is a dover kayum, it's got a kium, it's a long-lasting item, and the intention for what it was made and for your use is that you are going to use it for the foreseeable future, you have a duty, it is incumbent upon you, to toivel that item before you use it. So that one, bearing in mind, if we evaluate that with this tray that's arrived in glass or whatever it is, you're not going to be able to utilise that heter because you're not going to throw it away. Very often the tray is worth more than the actual food or more valuable or more precious, and therefore you're not going to use it. Let's move on to the next one. Dry food. So Rav Moshe has a well-known heter question arose about an item that a person is eating as a guest in somebody's house, and halfway through the meal he realises that in fact the dishes that he's eating off have not been toiveled. Now what does he do? Right? So Rav Moshe says, it's a huge chiddush, but he says that it's only an issa to eat from non-toiveled dishes and utensils only if you actually need that utensil in order to be able to eat that particular food. Wow. So in other words, with dry food, let's say a piece of chicken that you could pick up and you could manage without the plate. It happens to be sitting on the plate because of etiquette, but you could eat it and pick it up with your fingers and eat it and there wouldn't be an issue. Therefore, there's no issue. Whereas, let's say a bowl of soup, clearly you couldn't manage without that food, without that utensil. Therefore, you could not eat it. So therefore, for dry foods, Rav Moshe gives a heter that a person could eat off it because one could manage without it.
But now, the presentation things are stuff that you don't need a plate.
Oh, very often, if you get sweets and the like which are not wrapped, and if you have them, they are arguably, they would roll off or they would move around, it's not one single item on that plate, and therefore it's more difficult to argue. You could make a case, but it's more difficult to argue, and it is certainly serving a function, these candy or cookie dishes. Let's move on to the third possibility, which is the most likely option that we would like to take, which is a pickle jar or a coffee tin. For generations, all of us have bought items in the shops, and we haven't toiveled them. Most of the food items come in containers. So if they come in food containers, we don't empty out the food, toivel at the tin or the dish, and then put it all back together. Why not? Why don't you have to do that? So, Rav Shlomo Zalman says that in fact it was sealed and as a container, but it only became into an actual utensil when you prized it open, when you opened it. Prior to that, it had the potential, but it wasn't an active utensil. There may be sharp edges, he discusses, whatever it is. The point is, it's not a utensil until you actually open it the first time. That's one of his dispensations. The second point that Rav Shlomo Zalman says is that you never intended that this utensil, this coffee jar, this pickle tin, whatever it is, that it should actually be a long-term utensil. That wasn't your intention. 1 minute, we're going to keep going because we've got a lot to get through. I want to get to the answers. And therefore, since it is not your intention that it should be a long-term utensil, therefore, it's like temporarily using merchandise for a meal, and the same way somebody who's a vendor who has merchandise in the shop is not mechuyev in selling, in tovelling it, so too, therefore, this person who doesn't intend to use this vessel, this utensil, this kli, for the long term, therefore, because it has no long-term value, it's not his intention to use it, therefore, he does not have to tovel it. So those are two possibilities. Let's evaluate now, very quickly, based on the Shlomo's Zalman, this tray, this beautiful, ornate bowl, whatever it is that you've received with cookies on it. Are you intending to keep it for the long term? Yes. Right? Is it ready as a kli when you receive it? Yes. So both of Shlomo's Zalman's heterim, dispensations, do not apply in this particular instance. Let's try Rav Moshe. So Rav Moshe Feinstein says that what are you actually interested in when you receive this coffee jar or this pickle tin, whatever it is? You're interested in one thing or one thing only. You're interested in the food. If I was to ask you, buy me a jar of coffee, I say, get me some coffee. You're not interested in the jar. You're interested in the food. Therefore, the ikar is the food. And the jar, the utensil, the kli, is bottle. It's inferior, right? It's insignificant in relation to the actual food item. And therefore, he says it's bottle to the food. Only when a person, let's say a person were to have a coffee jar, and this apparently somebody told me the question that came up in yeshiva, they had a coffee jar, they finished the coffee, and then they wanted to pour sugar in, right, to use it again. So then you would have a question as to whether it has now become a utensil, because you've indicated through your reusing it that you actually want it to be a kli. But, says Rav Moshe, here's a massive chiddush. At that stage, who does it belong to? You! So therefore, when you turn it into a kli, you're turning it into a kli from somebody who is a Jew. And therefore, there is no issue of you having to tovel it, because at the outset it was not a kli because it was bottled to the food, and latterly when you decide to reuse it and turn it into a kli, at that stage it is already pre-owned by a Jew, so there is no issue. Now, 1 minute. So let's now evaluate the case at hand. So the case we hand of a dish or a plate, which you have your glass dish, whatever it is that you received as a present. Now, when you initially received it, was it, what's more important, the food or the dish? Should we take a straw poll?
It depends.
For the women, it's probably the dish. For the men, it's definitely the food, right? But generally speaking, we would say that it's probably, you want, at the same time, you want not just the food, you're very happy and delighted to receive the kli. So therefore, you're acquiring at that time, it doesn't have to be turned into something, it is a kli. And therefore, that doesn't help us and solve the issue, because it was purchased from a goy, it needed tefila, it was at the outset, it wasn't batel, like Rav Moshe said, and therefore, that is not going to help us in terms of solving it. So, let's move on a bit. So, Yaakov Breisch says, there is no need to tovel a tin or a can, because you don't purchase, similar to what we've already seen, a purchaser doesn't intend to purchase the can, only the food. He quotes a Taz that says that I would never, a Jew would never be interested in acquiring something that is osa. And therefore, at the outset, the Jew never intended to purchase a kli that he's not going to tovel, because in effect he would be acquiring an issa. So therefore, I never intended to acquire this kli, this utensil, this jar, because I don't intend to tovel it, because I don't want an issa, and therefore I never ever acquire the jar. Now that again is obvious, it's not going to be applicable here, because from the outset I do want this present, I do want this gift, and unless you're going to say a person from the outset has in mind each time he receives it that I'm not going to acquire this plate, this utensil at this stage, which is difficult to say. The Maharal Diskin says, when you buy food, there's no need for that container. And therefore, since you're using it passively, right, Therefore, it's a sheval taseh. What do I mean? It was pre-filled. You have this utensil which is pre-filled, right? You're not filling it. You are just emptying it, right? And therefore, you're not using it. Using a kli is when I fill it, I empty it, right? I make use of it as a kli, right? Here, it is simply an emptying of something that was already filled up. And therefore, I can keep the food or the can and empty it when needed. So therefore, he says, as long, one condition, as I do not eat from it directly. If I use, I'm not just emptying it, right? I'm not just emptying it, but I actually am eating from that kli. So for example, if I had a tin of fruit or the like, and I was to dip my fork in and to eat from it, that clearly shows that that is not the case, and that I do want the kli, and that I'm not just emptying it, but I'm using it as a kli, and therefore that would be problematic. Okay. Moving on. Rabbi Chiel. Moving on. Rabbi Chiel Yaakov Weinberg. He says that you have to empty the vessel. He's one of the most radical understandings in the Heterim. He says, you, in reality, it is a problem. You have to empty that kli, that vessel, as soon as you get it. You should empty it. But he says, you can do so as you eating from it. So it's the exact opposite. You have to empty it. So I am constantly, as long as I constantly am eating from it, then I am constantly emptying it. As long as I don't refill it, he says there is no problem. In addition to that, he says you have to have a specific intention not to acquire the kli, and therefore there are these two aspects. One is that I am I'm emptying it, and there's no issa eating as I empty it. And secondly, you have to have specific intention not to acquire the utensil. Again, it's blatant. There's no way that you're going to be able to do those two things, because as soon as I receive this present, I want it, I want to acquire it, and therefore it's not going to work. So the simplest solution that everyone, I'm sure, is thinking of is, why can't you just get the shopkeeper insist that he toibles it, right? Why can't you do that? Why wouldn't that, I mean, we'll come on to it, but why is that problematic? The answer is because it only becomes a chiv of tefillah, simply speaking, not when it is merchandise, but when it becomes kleoichel, when it becomes not something that is being sold as a sold item, but something that's going to be used as tashmish eichel. That is not the case, simply speaking, when a person has it in their shop, right?
As soon as you pay for it, you can throw it, huh?
You can, yeah.
Hold on 1 minute. Simply, at this stage, why can't the merchandise, the person who's, the vendor who's got the shop, why doesn't he just go and take a load and simply just toivel the whole lot on your behalf? And the answer is because he doesn't have a chiv. It's not his, it's merchandise. It's not. It only becomes when the eventual purchaser owns it, then, and he's going to use it for Klei Eichel, then it would be. Then he can do it.
Can he do it if you want to pay for it?
We'll come to it. But it's far. But we should understand and appreciate that it's far from a straightforward solution. Although contemporary poskim do have to rely on this. Rabbi Yitzchak Weiss says, he says because stores have dishes. They are merchandise, as we already mentioned, therefore they can be toibled. And he quotes the Taz that discusses the case of a storekeeper who lends somebody a dish, right, and then he's going to bring it back. So the question is, if I borrow a dish from a shopkeeper, does the borrower need to toible it? So the Taz suggests he should borrow it and toible it without a brocha, and when it comes back and then it is sold, what about the second person? He's going to, when he acquires it the second time, he suggests that he would have to then toivel it without a brocha. The person who is using it, again, to answer your question, when he borrows it, he is using it as a kleoicha. So therefore, he suggests to us that he would have to toivel it. Granted, it may not be his for the long term, but he's using it as a kleoicha, and therefore he would have to toivel it without a brocha. But somebody who eventually buys it, again, would have to toivel it without a bracha. There is a huge problem here, as we already mentioned, highlighted at the beginning, of lifnei iver, that potentially you are putting a stumbling block in front of those that are receiving, the recipients of the gift, as well as those that are purchasing it. If you buy something that's got a heksher on, you would presume that it's kosher. And therefore you presume when you unwrap it that it's ready to go. So therefore in America, Rabelsky and others have paskened that they insist that these type of new dishes which contain food have to be toveled by the merchant, by the vendor, before they are sold, or he has to specify that they have not been toveled. But he can't just write a heksher on it and then everyone is left to try and figure it out. Similarly, the Beis Din recently has given a pesach that is given a heksher to a certain company that wants a heksher on these food items that are being packaged along with these trays, and they've insisted that they are toveled by the vendor. How this works, we'll see. Okay. So now, we've seen most of the heterim that we've seen to date, which give a dispensation in certain circumstances for items not to be toveled or to be exempt from tefillah, don't necessarily work in this particular case. So what possible solutions can we come up with? Another popular misconception in tefillah is that based on the that surrounding the Aruch HaShulchan, that he says that a utensil that does not come into direct contact with food, if it's never going to come into direct contact with food, then it is potter from tefillah. So therefore, what's the solution that many people, I'm sure, have seen it do? They'll buy a dish and they'll line it with some paper or foil, right, and the like, and then they'll place cling film, and then they'll place the food on top of that, and then they'll say, well, it's not actually touching the kli, and therefore if it's not touching the kli, I'm not using the kli. If I'm not using the kli, I don't need to do tefillah, and that's a way around it, and they can even do that at home, and it's another solution. That is certainly not the case, and Shlomo Zalman and others make it quite clear that if it is a meal utensil, if it's going to be used as clay oichel, and it's primarily going to be used to come into contact with food, then whether or not in that particular instance it is coming into contact with food is irrelevant. The fact is it a clay oichel, a utensil for food, that primarily its function is to come into contact with food? The answer is yes. So therefore, covering it, the tray with cling film or paper and the like, and saying, therefore, since it's not coming into contact with food, that would suffice, it certainly doesn't seem to work. So another solution that we could come up with is that the store owner would use the item first, right? Therefore, he toivels it, and therefore, it's been toivled kadas kadin, one would think, and therefore that would help in that when the person now purchases the item and gives it as a gift, there's no problem because it's already been toivled, it's already been used. And therefore, in effect, you're giving somebody you're giving a present of an item that is from a Jew to a Jew, a second-hand item, and therefore it shouldn't require tefillah. The answer is that that would not get round the issue because primarily it is still merchandise for the vendor. The person, the shopkeeper who is selling the item, even though he's toivled it, right, it is not primarily, what does he see it as? Primarily he sees it as merchandise. And if it's merchandise, it doesn't have a chiyuv yet to be toivled, and therefore he wouldn't help. The other possibility, the other solution one could suggest, is that you have in mind not to acquire it. I'm not going to acquire the item, I'm going to have das, like somebody gives you a gift on Shabbos. So therefore you have das from the outset. I am not acquiring this item. If I don't have das to be koiner it, therefore it's not mine. If it's not mine, I don't have a chiyuv to do tefillah. And that is quite difficult for a person to take it on, to have that item in their house and use it on a daily basis, a weekly basis, and to say that they are not it's not actually theirs. A final possible non-solution is that we could suggest that a third party acquires it, and therefore you rely on Breira. In other words, especially you could use it for glass, which is a drabonon. Breira works with drabonons, and therefore, for example, you could suggest that a third party the Mashkiach, whoever's going in where they're making these chocolates, we're putting the trays together. He's going to be koiler it. He's going to be on behalf of whoever eventually will buy it. I don't know who it's for, so how can I be tovel it on his behalf? The answer is, Breira, once eventually we'll know who it was, and therefore it should work retroactively. It's not really a solution in terms of it doesn't work across the board, and the poskim aren't really happy with it. So one solution that that seems to be the most pragmatic would be that of Rav Osher Weiss, who suggests that you can do tefillah for merchandise. He says it is effective, even if we don't normally recommend it, since this is going to be, the food is going to go onto it straight away. Therefore, he suggests that one can rely on it if one doesn't have any other options. And since there is Lifnei Iver involved, then this would seem to be the best solution. The other solutions that you can have is you can do special order, where you insist that before people buy it, they order it, they click online. And therefore, you could do a tefillah in advance. Rav Shlomo Zalman suggests that in one of his tshuvas as a possibility. Highly unlikely that people are going to stick to this in this day and age, that people are going to only pre-order it and not sell it ready to go. But the ideal would be is that you use other materials. For example, you use wood, use pottery, other things that are exempt, they're a potter from tefillah, and therefore you don't get into it. And perhaps that's to many of the vendors that are coming up with these presentations, that would be the ideal, because then that would avoid the Lifnei Iver and all the complications that we've already mentioned. The final suggestion that we could come up with is that you fill the gift plate. You fill it with items that are pre-packaged. So for example, if you put on it, you're not in effect using the platter, you're putting on it crisps that are, or items that are already in bags. So in effect, they're not actually using that tray, and if they do decide to switch to that, again, that would be a solution, because they are freestanding items that are pre-packaged, and therefore that would not be an issue. Yeah, maybe. So therefore, we've seen that there are, it's fraught with issues, this contemporary dilemma as to having a presentation, a Shabbos gift, which has food on it, together with receiving a present of a plate or a platter, which requires tefillah, because generally speaking, the chiyuv falls primarily on the recipient, on the user, who is not in a position to tovel it when it is purchased. And the person who even purchases it isn't even in a position to tovel it. And we saw that Rav Osher Weiss suggests that in given this situation, the fact that it is going to go ahead and there is going to be Lifnei Iver, therefore people seem to be relying on this, and the Hechsherim seem to be given on the basis that people will tovel it, the merchandise, the vendors will tovel it in advance, and people are reliant on that. Just by the Derech Drush, which ties into this very briefly, we know that Yaakov went back for Pachim Katanim. He crossed the Yabok with his family, and then he crosses back again, and he returns to the other side. By say Yaakov Levadoi. So Yaakov finds himself alone, and Tosfos says that he went back, he says, Al Tikri Levado Ela Lekado Pachim. Right? So Pachim, he says, Levado Pachim Katanim. Don't read it levado, but lekadoi, right? That he went back for a kad, for the small pitchers. What was it significant about these jugs that Yaakov went back for? So the Sefer Sifsei Kohen suggests that there's a Medrash Rabbah that says that in relation to this week's parsha, v'yikach me'avnei amokom, that we know that Yaakov placed around his head, he put around him stones, and afterwards he poured on it from a jug oil, right? A small jug of oil. And he anointed these rocks with the oil from the jug. Now, miraculously, he points out that this, the Medrash says, that this jug was replenished. It never went down. The oil kept being filled from this jug. So Yaakov recognized that there was something special about this small cud of oil, and therefore he saw it as a sign of great blessing, and this jug accompanied him through the years, through Choron, and this went. And that's why he went back to get it. And says, the Sifsei Kohen, in fact, based on this Medrash, this jug was actually something that was kept. It was utilized by Yaakov, it was utilized to anoint the clay of Mishkan, it was utilized for the Kohen Gadol, for the kings. And this same jug, he says, was used for the Chashmonaim. This was the Pach Katan, this was the jug that was found of oil in when it came to the miracle of Hanukkah. So perhaps one of the lessons to take out is that even our Pachim Katanim, something that is relatively in our eyes, in our day and age, insignificant, can have tremendous potential for Kedusha, and for it can be utilized and channeled for Avodas HaKodesh. And therefore, perhaps this is a message for us to take to heart, that we should strengthen ourselves, and this in terms of Tvila, in terms of utilizing our Kelim for Avodas HaKodesh, and in this way, Be'ezras Hashem will be able to utilize all our Kelim in Avodas HaKodesh. They should be utilized, we should be zoicha to see the clay kodesh of the Beis HaMidrash being used. Be Hera V'Yomenu Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.